Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go!
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Bingetown TV. We are back with spoiler for episodes 7 and 8 of Yellow Jackets. We are almost there, boys. I can feel it. We're almost at all the same page where we could just talk freely with theories, but not quite. So we're here with episode 7, No Compass, and episode 8, The Flight of the Bumblebee, which I cannot wait to talk about. But for now, let's do a little housekeeping. The best thing you could do for the pod is hit subscribe. Takes 2 seconds. Really helps us out. We would love to just grow the pod and keep hanging out with you guys. So hit subscribe. Come back and listen to all of our episodes. Right now, we've got The Last of Us going and Yellow Jacket Season 1, of course, gearing up for Season 2. And we've got Shadow and Bone coming down, which we're excited about. I think we all need to do a quick rewatch of Season 1 and The Mandalorian. But in the meantime, you can go back and check all of our stuff we've done. We've got 350 episodes backlogged, and I'm sure you like a bunch of those shows. But today, we are here for Yellow Jackets, and these two episodes are absolute bangers with just some explosive things happening. So
legitimately explosive.
Legitimately. So, of course, it's me and Luke as the vets, and it's Brian and Dave as the rooks. Now I'm going to throw it to the rooks. What are your immediate thoughts?
My immediate thoughts are my resolve held out. I'm not a vet for this episode. I know last episode I was talking about potentially watching 9 and 10, but for the pod, I did hold out and it was killer. It was killing me to not watch 9 and 10, especially with the endings that we got from episode 8. But show just continues to just skyrocket itself in my rankings. I fucking love this show. Every episode is such a joy. I'm always on the edge of my seat and I just cannot wait to get into these discussions today.
Totally agree. It's just more of the same for me. My instant take of like the two episodes is RIP Laura Lee, but that was like such an amazing scene. I can't wait to get into it.
One less comedic piece in the show now, because no more fuck you Laura Lee's.
Yeah,
just that.
I would also like to say that I am proud that I included young Thaisa in my top 3 in the last episode, because well, maybe a controversial 2 episodes, but I like the 2-episode sample size as a whole. I think the first scene of episode 7 is Thaisa like cutting her hair to the like awesome rock music in the background. She's just such a great character and a great leader. I appreciate her gusto in just picking a decision and sticking with it and not hearing anything anti that. But yeah, just
sounds quite up your alley.
This guy in sports debates.
Yeah. Are you kidding me?
We'll have to have one sports related binge town episode so that people can see what B-Tom's like.
What he's capable of.
But anyway, we digress.
Luke?
These were really fun episodes and I didn't remember where they were going to end, but I'm incredibly happy with where it cut off, especially with some 2021 stuff that is saved out there. And then I think my favorite episode involving 1996 is coming up too. So like basically all my favorite things are yet to come. And this is just like build up. But yeah, like Laura Lee had a fantastic episode 8. I'm going to praise her when we get to that part. And then more crazy Adam shit and Shauna stuff in the present timeline. I guess that's mostly episode 8, but episode 7.
You mean hobby?
But episode 7 was nice seeing the girls squad up and actually like besides plan like do things in present time. So that was really fun to see.
Luke and I talked briefly before this that episode 7 ends on such a cliffhanger that if we were to have ended on 7 and you guys were like to pod on it, you'd be like, Van's dead, right? Like 100% Van's dead.
Absolutely.
And damn, I'm glad she's not. We'll get to it, but this is a good enough cliffhanger as well. I mean, it's all rise from here and it's been all rise. So I'm not worried about it, but we are missing some theories by not doing episode by episode, but luckily for season two, we'll be able to get it episode by episode, which is nice. But are we ready to jump in? Because we are going to start with 1996. And the whole first chunk of this is basically Ty picking up where she left off, saying, I'm getting the fuck out of here. We're going south. You can come with me or not. I'm leaving. And we kind of open it with the girls, one, fighting her. Some of them are on her side, but they're like, okay, well, you can't take our stuff, right? Like, there's only certain things you could take. I can remember the first time watching it being like, don't go. Don't. No, you're just going to, like, that's so scary.
See, I'm signing up to go with her. Like, I was always on team head south, and you got to go warmer. I'm a bitch when it comes to the cold. There's no way I'm staying here and waiting it out.
Logic was there for it. I mean, there were definitely some clues that should have said no with the, you know, the dead bear and the markings all around the forest.
Lottie.
But, yeah. And then Lottie just being an absolute nutcase. But I agree with you. I think I would have went with Thaisa because, I mean, they're going to freeze to death. Mm-hmm. Like, you literally have no other options. It's either, I guess, get eaten or just die by, like, freezing to death. I think they picked the right move.
Personally, I would be team cabin, especially if the majority of the group was team cabin. I don't think I would diverge from groupthink.
It does make a difference on how many people are traveling. I would agree with that. Bit more numbers. If like a majority of like Coach and like a couple others wanted to stay at the cabin, fine. I think I would go south. But if majority was saying I'm staying at the cabin, I would probably stay too then, now that you mention it, because you need a big pack.
I would probably also completely overestimate my ability to survive a Pacific Northwest winter. I would probably die at the cabin. That's what I'm saying.
But anyway, so they decide she's going to take an axe, a compass, a flare gun. So that's the thing she's going to take. It's kind of the extra stuff they have. Then we go forward and people end up deciding to go with her or not. But quickly, we have this Lottie and Laura Lee scene where they see this burnt deer.
Yeah.
And there's a piece of bone in there that didn't burn. And of course, you could just easily just like snap it right off. And she's like, this is peculiar. And it ends up being some kind of like protection amulet, which Ty savagely steals. But do we have anything else to say about that specific scene before it like actually comes into play?
If Lottie in her crazy state of mind is saying, use this for protection, I'll probably use it for protection.
Yeah.
That's all there is.
I actually already take back my go south. I'm following Lottie wherever she is. Like, she's got the premonitions. And then we find out later this episode, they expand on it further where Van says she predicted the scandal. She predicted prom queen. She's got powers. Like, I'm already sold. And if I'm Van with that mindset, I'm never letting go of that necklace, but I'm also not leaving Lottie.
It'll just be, I wonder if they'll ever let us see actually how Ty ended up with that protection amulet, because she blacks out and then she wakes up and she just has it around her neck.
I mean, that's kind of like mystery. I feel
I'm just wondering if like Van willingly gave it to her, or maybe she kind of blacked out.
She swiped it.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
And then just climbed up a tree. Like, I feel like they're
crazy, bro.
Yeah, but is that like normal sleepwalk behavior? I feel like there's more at play. Yeah,
I'm a chronic sleepwalker and I do not climb trees.
That's lady in the tree right in your face.
Yeah.
That is really, like, someone is possessing her for sure, I feel like.
Yeah. And speaking of Ty, I mean, as Brian mentioned, Ty cutting all of her hair off, such a badass. I mean, Jasmine Savoy, what's her actress name? She has short hair in real life. So hot. She's an adult in real life. I could call her that. I think she's like 28. So she's fine. And Van's like, that's pretty hot, actually. I'm like, these two, come on. They have good chemistry too. And previously we were talking about who Ty might have chemistry with as well, but we'll get there. Okay. So Van decides she's going to go with her. That's number one. Do you guys think she was going as like, I mean, I know she went through the whole New York soft pretzel thing, which was really cute. I don't know. I just feel like it's an impossible decision. And Van was like, she's my girl. I'm going with her. I guess that's my only choice. Like, if Ty stayed, I think Van would have stayed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and at the time she thought Ty was going alone too. So she wasn't going to let Thaisa go alone. And then Akilah and Mira.
Mari.
Mari.
I'm sorry, Mari. Wow. How about that? Sorry, Mari.
And then Misty as well, eventually.
And Misty as well.
Right. Yeah. Quick scene of Travis wanting to go and Nat kind of saying, please don't. And that was actually the only cute scene between those two in the whole two episodes.
Yeah, it gets less cute.
Good acting moment from Trav there with the teary eyes. I think, like, in general, he, like, all of his scenes were like such a pussy, but in this scene I'm like, he was did really good here, and it's like felt like a good one. And then the rest,
I'm not leaving Nat if I'm him though. So
no.
Yeah,
fuck that.
Both the couples did what they were supposed to do and yep. stayed with their significant other.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I mean, but he wasn't wrong, right? Like, they need a boy. That didn't even feel sexist to me at all. I was like, yes, they need a boy. Bring the boy. Yeah. You know.
I mean, whatever. He laid it out perfectly. I mean, the same thing in Van and Thaisa's relationship, like. Thaisa might be like stronger, like mentally, with, you know, she might have the bigger brain, but Van definitely seems like the stronger of the two. So if Thaisa is leaving, then Van would want to be that carrier of the heavy lifter, you know, in that relationship.
Yeah. There was nothing really else here. It's just them all squatting up. The Misty awkward coach moment was kind of funny. But what I wanted to bring up was, we kind of went over it, was Lottie says to Larly, right? No, it's to Van. She gives her the necklace, says, watch out for the red smoke and the river of blood. And did I miss the red smoke thing?
That was my question as well.
The flare gun.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. I totally missed that.
It's so obvious. You probably.
Yeah. I just didn't even. Okay. Didn't consider that. Okay.
I mean, as we go on in this episode, specifically when the girls go off, they are buying more and more into the stock of Lottie. And I can't wait to dig into whether or not I believe in Lottie. Like, I just
I've been believing in Lottie for so long. I might just believe in her too hard. I think she might go bad because of how hard I believe in her.
I hope after this little interaction that Thaisa can realize that, okay, Lottie is definitely special. We should listen to what she says, because she was so anti-Lottie when they were leaving. And was like, oh, you're believing all of Lottie's like craziness. And it's like, yeah, you should be believing Lottie's craziness.
Funny enough, Van's like, if we were in a scary movie, you'd die first. She's like, why? Because I'm black. And she's like, no, because you're the cynic, girl. And that's really what it is. And then I was like, cue Scream 5 up, because my girl, Jasmine Savoy, is so good in that scary movie. And she, spoiler alert, does not die first. Badass.
You also skipped a quote that was right before that I liked, where Thaisa says, like, if this was a movie, Lottie's the bad guy. Lottie's the villain.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, she got the powers.
She has powers, good or bad, whatever they may be.
All right. So the girls are off. So we'll move to Jackie. We're still on camp. And Jackie is on to Shauna. She is like, I think it's the last straw was watching her and Thaisa's like loving embrace of goodbye. And Jackie's like, what the fuck is this? Like, these two are not friends. Like, what is going on? Mm-hmm. And this call out was sad. And her saying, when did you stop wanting me to be your best friend? I was like, stab in the chest. This sucks ass.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I have to be the Jackie defender, because I was reading
Jackie defender
articles from the I'm sorry. I was reading articles like from the time, people going over it, and they were just like, Jackie is getting increasingly more paranoid. And I just thought throughout these entire episodes, she was completely in her bag. In this instance, because Sean is completely gaslighting her. Is that the correct use of the term gas?
100%.
I wrote gaslight in my notes.
Like, this is textbook definition. Hell yeah. High fives for gas.
And also another high five here too, because these are the two best episodes of Jackie, I thought, because I'm on your side where I think that this is the most empathy I give her for the whole show. And especially for next episode, or maybe it's later this episode when she's crying with the journal. All of this, now I'm like Team Jackie, to the point where I was like, again, questioning how I, like, why do I like young Shauna now?
But, yeah.
Like, I was correct. Like, fuck, man. I'm going so back and forth between my rewatch and my initial opinions, but.
As a spectator, it's easy to dismiss her cheating with Jeff, having the affair, whatever, just because we don't really care that much. But like, I think this is the biggest betrayal between any one player on the team against another.
Yeah.
So like, yeah, it's tough to like young Shauna, even though she's very likable elsewhere.
I still love her. So I'm just keeping that out there.
Can't say that I love her. I really can't, because this is like the worst thing anybody's done. And now, like,
I was there my first watch, exactly.
Wait,
where you are.
Let me just say that when she tells her she's pregnant and Jackie said, how did this happen? And she goes, you know, when a man and a woman, I go, you bitch, you are joking in this moment when you are actually telling her you're pregnant with her boyfriend's kid. And then you decide to make a joke. I was like, that is a wild choice.
Well, no, because it's Randy's kid.
It's Randy's kid. Randy.
There was like a solid 3 second at least pause before she gave a name. And I was begging in my head to just say Jeff. And she didn't. So that's just fueling. Hefe.
Here's the thing I can't understand about Shauna is you're 2 months deep into a plane crash, like horrible situation. Like, what is the difference if they cheated on a high school boyfriend? Like, it's so insignificant after 2 months of just being in survival mode. And like, the longer she keeps the secret, it's going to come out eventually. Like, why don't you just tell her?
Well, that's the thing is it doesn't. It adds nothing. So there's no need to just add that extra layer of awkwardness.
Well, once she found out she's pregnant.
Yeah, I'm saying there's no need to say that it's Jeff's kid. What's the point?
I'm on Luke's team.
That's fine. I'm jumping the gun here a little bit because when Shauna confronts Jackie about telling everyone that she's pregnant, I'm like, she did the right thing, honestly. Like, people needed to know that.
Well, hold on. That has more layers than just saying that.
Yeah, we're getting there when we get there. But I'm just saying that kind of fuels into what we're talking about with Shauna kind of just being the bitch. Like, she
should have told everybody, regardless of the Jeff thing. Yeah, I agree with that.
Such an important, besides Coach's leg, that is definitely the biggest priority at this moment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and Van's face, but...
Well, okay. Going into 8, it's Van's face.
Yeah.
So, next scene is them actually talking about the conception, the fake conception. And when Shauna actually picks a night, she thinks she's being smart, but I'm like, don't pinpoint a night. Make it vague. Be vague. Mm-hmm. Like, don't... Because then she's like, are you sure? Randy was, like, puking up a storm that night. And honestly, Shauna's response of being like, yeah, I guess we were both too lit. You know what I mean? I get it, but I'm like, don't be too specific, girl. Like, you would have told her before. You have to, like, if you're going to lie, you have to really think it through and, like, come up with why you wouldn't have told her.
To get away with this, you have to be a good liar, which it is evident Shauna is incapable of doing.
She becomes good by 2021.
Well,
questionably. Okay. Yeah.
We're a hop, skip, and a splash away from 2021 and 1996. So,
but yeah, so we'll leave them there for now. But we have another Nat and Trav awkward sex encounter. Like, I could count them. Like, there's too many.
It's too many.
Yeah.
Way too many.
When she's like, I want you so bad, and he just like recoils, I'm like, no.
Travis is such a bitch, dude.
Well, like, you got to remember, he's like, what, a 17-year-old virgin, and she's, I don't know, she's not handling it very, like, kindly, or, like, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
it's tough to watch for both parties involved, because she wants him to be more experienced, which he clearly just isn't, and she's like she's gonna slow down.
I would say we are seeing more of Ruthless Kidnat than... like that matches her adult personality. That's really ruthless.
Yeah.
More so in the latter season than actually, like, I think people were like, wow, like, what an escalation. But now you're actually seeing she could be savage. Like, some of the shit she says to Travis, I'm like, you're just being over the top.
She hasn't sniffed my top 3 since episode 4.
Yeah.
And I will say, well, they're going to have another conversation later, but I thought Travis was the one that was being a little too extra with, like, some of the low blows he was giving back. Because what are you going to do? Body count? Who the fuck cares?
We'll get to the Jackie part.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Discuss that.
So, okay, the only other thing that we have before we can switch over to the squad that's heading south is Shauna having this Javi moment. Yep. This is really the most... Anytime Javi's having moments, it's some way...
Adam.
I knew that was coming.
It's just some way connected to Shauna. But what he's just trying to get a knife to make a little art project, which turns out to be a wolf that he gives to her later. More important here is Shauna realized her journal was too out in the open, and she puts everything in that, so she hides it. That's like the key for what transpires later, because I think the next thing we see is Jackie actually finds it. And she's reading it that night.
I can't.
And Shauna doesn't know it's gone. She's out by the fire by herself, whatever, crying. And holy shit, man, that's got to be a lot.
I can't believe she put such deep personal shit in that journal that she just leaves hanging around.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Let me just say before we get into the actual diary stuff that Javi/Adam just loves going through Shauna's shit, because we get the backpack. He's going through the backpack. And then obviously in the end of 8 or whatever it is, goes through the safe. So this guy, the connections are there, man.
This little thief, little weirdo, not like in a horrible way. I think he has a great line whenever he's like borderline stalking Shauna in 2021, where he sums it up perfectly. It's like, yeah, long enough that it's a little weird, but not like creepy.
Stalker, yeah.
not stalker weird.
Quick calculation. If he graduated from Pratt in 07 or 08, Pratt is undergrad art schools. Anyway, does that match? So if those girls were seniors in 1996, could Javi have been 10 years younger than them? He's not 8. Are they supposed to be 16 or 18?
No, it could be like 16 or 17, right?
I think the girls are supposed to be around 42. No. 40 to 42 in 2021. So Javi, how old do we think Adam looks?
Probably 30s.
Yeah.
Javi only seems to be like 4 or 5 years tops younger than the girls in 96. So Adam needs to be within 5 years tops of the girls to make this line up. And Shauna's whole thing is he's like, I'm seeing a younger man. That wouldn't be like 37-year-old if you're 41. That would be like a 20.
Yeah.
That would be like someone my age.
You're right.
It does make sense, because if you graduate college in 07, like she says, subtract 4 years, which is 2003, that means they're 6 or 7 years younger than him. So maybe he's not 10. Yeah, I don't think that matters.
I wonder if these chumps even know if he's Javi or vets.
Yeah. I'm just doing math that was given to us via the episode script.
God, now we're talking about this math, and I'm like, oh, maybe Adam's not Javi. We're sticking true to it.
The age is the biggest hurdle right now.
Yeah.
We'll stick it on ice for later. Okay, so the Nomad girls. These girls are ripping. We already talked about the horror movie stuff. I love it. So quickly, Lottie did predict prom queen and the Jenkins scandal. Mm-hmm. So not only is she predicting terrible, awful things, but she's predicting funny things or good things. Like Brian said, the situation around her is bad. So her premonitions are bad. But if she's just in high school living her life, she's guessing prom queens and shit, mm-hmm. which is cool.
Yeah. This reminds me of how like Harry Potter's signs of magic showed, because like Aunt Petunia gave him a horrible haircut and he went to school and it was just like normal when he woke up.
Mm-hmm. She's so interesting, man. I said it before, I'll say it again. She's been like my favorite part to really hone in and pay attention to on my rewatch. Yeah. So I would think that you guys would feel the same, because you have no idea in the first 4 episodes that this girl's going to have premonitions and powers. And maybe, I'm not confirming that, but I'm just saying like it makes you hone in on her, and she's great. She's a really fun character.
They did a great job of making it very subtle that there was something, especially with just the medication itself, just emphasizing that like there was. I'm glad that they showed us those small clips of her packing the medication, you know, taking the medication, because, you know, if they hadn't shown that stuff, then this all would have felt like it came out of nowhere. But because we have those small moments, it makes it all more worthwhile when we find out that she does have
power. And I am just being honest, I miss that line about Van saying she predicted the prom queen the first time I watched it. Like the second time I was taking notes and stuff and paying attention, I was like, damn, how did I just miss that? Mm-hmm. You miss some of these little moments that really make a difference when you guys go back and watch, which I'm sure you'll do.
Yeah. So again, quick scene, Van on their first night, which they survived the night. Van's out here being hilarious. She's telling stories and they hear wolves foreshadowing out the ass. I mean, wolves have been kind of the dangerous thing this whole season. Ty's seeing them. I guess this is probably why Ty's seeing them and is haunted by wolves, right? She mm-hmm. later in episode 8, you'll see her just haunted by the fact that she fucked it up. She let the fire go out. You know, she was supposed to take the first watch. She sleeps, walk into a tree, you know, and it happens. but anyway, so next day they encounter the quote unquote Red Sea. Now, Ty is like headstrong and saying, listen, all these things can be explained away. Misty says the iron deposit. The compass is losing her mind. It's the iron. Mm-hmm. So, again, the fire comes later with the gun. But I don't know. They're just, like, really buying into Lottie's premonitions. And I would be team, fuck, let's get the fuck out of here as well.
Yeah, the moment I see that river, I'm like, she said she was speaking the truth back there. Let's get the fuck home. And then, of course, Thais is like, no, we're pressing on. And everyone else is so I was going to say beta, but that's definitely not like a PC term.
It's kind of beta. I don't think Misty was ever going to go back.
PC? No, it's totally PC. It's fine.
Fine. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, just beta moves by just them. Once I got the confirmation, that's all I needed. But it's just like them just succumbing to Thais's overwhelming presence. And they should have not done that and just went.
Van would have had to be the one to stand up.
But she didn't.
And she didn't because she's into Thai and kind of has already put her faith into Thai completely. She's in, and once Thai doubles down, she's like, well, I'm betting on Thai to get us through this.
I will say Thai also fucked him over by saying, oh, the wolves are pretty far away. We don't have to worry about that. Cause she couldn't have been more wrong about how far away they were.
But that was the first night, right?
Yeah, but still.
I mean, no, I agree. I agree. Question though. I don't remember. Does Misty say anything about wanting to go back or not? Because I know everyone else is down to say, let's go back. Thaisa wants to go forward. Did Misty, she didn't say anything about what side, right?
She mostly had facial expressions that made me think she was in to go back. But she never explicitly says.
She never says anything, right?
Until I remember.
Because she seems the one that would be the least likely to like care about the premonitions and stuff besides Thaisa in that, especially in that group.
But she seems more sciencey than anyone else. I agree with that. Yeah. But no, I don't think she ever makes that explicit. And
okay,
she does just kind of say like people are asking her questions about, could that happen? Like with the iron, like could that show in the water? And she's like, maybe.
Yeah.
She's not even confident herself. So
Misty watches Discovery Channel a lot. Like, how does she know this shit? Yeah. She just pay attention and science class? Like, genius. What the fuck? I don't know anything she knows.
And little tangent here, other podcasters, if you guys haven't heard our other shows and our other coverages, one of the other Bingetown members, Kyle, is in the middle of watching Yellow Jackets now. He's a Misty fan right off the bat after two episodes. Yeah.
Correct.
So let's finish out the rest of the South squad here because
Van
like two
gets
more
eaten. I mean that we've talked about her sleepwalking into the tree and stuff and they just hear the screams. It's wild that the rest of the girls have these like kind of torches to like get the wolves, at least keep them at bay. Van is just getting like thrown around by this wolf, and then Ty fucking beats the shit out of this wolf. I was like, bring that wolf home for dinner. Can you eat wolf?
Honestly, holy shit, that's a great idea.
Even if you can't eat wolf, you might as well fucking try to eat a wolf.
Oh, you can eat wolf if you're hungry enough. Yeah.
People, if you're hungry.
Well, it's going to be some pretty tenderized meat because Thaisa got in there with that axe before completely whiffing with the flare gun.
Yeah.
Might I add. But okay, Ty.
So
let's lump in the rest of it, too. Yeah. Like the episode two stuff where Van, okay, you see her dying. The episode kicks off just following directly the aftermath of that. And she's already in the process of being cremated. And she has that weird green vision, which is something I saw a comment on Reddit about that I'm willing to discuss, but I want your guys' take on what was going on there.
It seemed similar to what Lottie saw when she was underwater and kind of Laura Lee's face turned into just like this dark silhouette figure, but not like a one for one because that one wasn't very green.
Yeah, I don't know what that was, but people were theorizing it had something to do with an NDE, which it clearly was. But
yeah,
you know, if we're talking the OA, does that give you superpowers or what?
What time do you have? We can talk OA if you want.
Yeah, the OA squad. We're gonna slide in some OA coverage into this Yellow Jackets.
I gotta say, I dropped OA on the pod I was on
for
the recaps, and he was like, well, we could do the movements to try and like get Donald Glover back, and I was like, you're my guy. But anyway, so yeah, I mean, the burning alive scene is hard to watch, especially me and Luke knowing she's actually alive. Because in the beginning, for 1 second, you're like, they're burning her right then and there. And then her eyes start flickering. You're like, oh, what's going on?
I seriously thought they killed her. And I know we all probably did until you could click play right next. Anyway, did we watch it in the same back-to-back, Dave? I forget if we watched it right away.
We did 7 one night, and then we did 8 a couple nights later.
Okay, so you did think that Van was completely... and I'm assuming you're the same way.
I watched it the same way.
She was hooked, literally.
Yeah. I mean, they showed the face, and like Yellow Jackets, they just do gore better than anything else I've ever seen. The burning scene, it was very Faramir in Lord of the Rings.
Oh, yeah.
Never seen it.
Yeah, he's basically, in the same situation where he's getting burned alive, but
except he was gonna die because his dad just kind of wanted him to, and he was like, "Okay, I'll just die."
Except he wasn't passed.
Faramir, get it together, bro.
But not only is her face eaten, but now she has third degree burns on her legs and stuff. It's so unfortunate.
Had burns from the plane in the first episode or second episode.
Really, fire is what she says, yep. Which is that's our girl Van, always down to make a joke.
Still cracking jokes. I respect her spirit.
I love that.
But I'll tell you, so the next scene, and that's the last one until we'll reunite with the girlies, but them walking her and Ty still covered in both probably Van's blood and the wolf's blood that she just destroyed all over her face, like carrying this like decrepit Van, like her face, her eye is all red in the middle. It is
so red.
It is brutal to see. And I love these girls so much. I'm like, this is so hard to watch.
Yep.
And they do such a good job. I mean, I agree. I mean, Brian was like buying Ty stock in the beginning of the episode. And I've been buying Ty stock. And I think I was biased from the start because I knew the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
But man, she is just such a good character. And even in this, I think this is some of her best later, like 2021 stuff as well. Like them on the heist to give the money or get the guy. And then later at the sleepover,
Just
fucking love them. But they let the girls go. They run off and Ty and Van are just kind of chilling. And I assume they were going to send back for help, but Ty was just like chilling with her thinking she might die in her arms.
Mm-hmm.
So sad.
Not to be a Ty hater, but I just wonder how this dynamic is going to work, especially if Van does end up dying to the wounds. I'm just so curious because we've already seen like we had talked about earlier with her kind of freaking out at the river saying we got to keep fucking going. You know, she's being very assertive. And
sure.
So with the loss now or potential loss of her partner, I'm just curious to see how that's going to affect her dynamic with the rest of the girls later on.
Totally agree.
I can't wait to see a Van and Thaisa kind of one-on-one conversation where Van can be like, hey, why did you steal that necklace that you said was complete useless trash and then go up a tree when the wolves came?
Yeah.
Just fill me in. I'm still into you, you know. No judgment. I'm sure you didn't mean it. And I also want to see Lottie talk to Van and be like, hey, I kind of gave you that necklace, you know.
Not I told you some things
and you didn't listen.
Or maybe she's just gonna be like, hey, did you see a red river? You know, was everything right? I knew it. I called it.
Let me get us to the point where everybody reunites, because there are a couple more scenes at the cabin until our girls get here. So you guys, open floor for anything. And I'm also gonna lump in the Laura Lee flashback scene here, because this is kind of the beginning of episode two. So that's just open for dialogue.
Yep.
About her hitting her head in the pool, getting saved, how she found faith, basically. You get
in the pool, talking about how they do gore on the show. That felt worse to me than anything.
Dude, bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I took it like a step back. I was like, wow.
That was a lot. Alki verbally like freaked out when that happened. Like more
he's
than
swimmers. Yeah. Of course, I'm sure he's
exactly.
been in that situation.
So. It was like the sound and then the absence of sound, just her, and the blood in the water, just not, it sticks with you.
Yes.
But okay, so I kind of almost didn't appreciate how they kind of made it comical how she found her faith. Like, she looked up at this cheesy lifeguard and was just like, you saved me. And he's like, I didn't save you. He did. And it was like so over the top cheesy. I feel like they could have done Laura Lee a little bit more service, because like, that's her thing. You either appreciate how into her face she is, or you think it's a joke and the writers kind of made that decision for us.
Yeah.
We also don't know if maybe she was like somewhat, you know, religious in the beginning, and then that event made her full-blown like religious nut, you know.
Yeah. I also don't like religion, so I loved it.
I was gonna say religion. Well, all religion feels corny to me.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even notice it was out of place because I thought that was normal. That's how they do it.
Through that.
Yeah.
It was a banner that said she was at a Saint Magdalene summer camp.
Okay.
So like she was at religious camp.
So that defends that point.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
But anyway, so at the cabin, a couple things happen here. Absolutely amazing conversation with Nat and Coach that happens because Travis is once again mopey as fuck with Nat. And like at this point, I'm even taking notes. Like Travis is just so boring on a rewatch. Like I'm just sick of his shit. He's boring. I get it. It's like tropey teen relationship, whatever. It ends up splitting up Nat and Travis temporarily. Nat goes and has the amazing conversation with Coach, and we'll break that whole thing down. And then also that leads Jackie and Travis to have their conversation where she spills the beans about the body count. And then that has its own repercussions.
That was supreme gaydar, because my first watch through, I was like, I did not get that. I did not pick up on that. You guys, thoughts?
No, not at all.
No, definitely not. But no. It explains no. The condoms.
Well, yeah. Dave was over here thinking that Coach was into Misty.
Well, yeah, okay. Yeah, that was shocking of you guys to be like, which way is he going? I'm like, I'm going to let you guys have that confusion.
It's definitely granted, like, it was warranted confusion because he did sell it perfectly until the very
end. He had to.
Yeah, so now I'm realizing, okay, he had to, but it would have definitely been really juicy if he actually did, like...
Weird things happen to people when they're thrust into situations like this that we know they become cannibals. Why don't you throw an element like this into the story? Would have made it interesting, but I'm glad they went this route. Makes Coach yes. a better character.
I like the one-on-one. It was good.
It was awesome.
With Nat, Coach?
Yeah,
absolutely. And he was like talking to Nat as like a peer. And I mean, I think the Laura Lee scene later where she puts her foot down and it essentially says, you have one leg, dude. What the fuck are you going to do about it?
I love that.
That's the first instance where they put a magnifying glass at. Yeah, the power dynamic. Coach has no leg to stand on, shall we say. But that kind of goes into him treating these girls much less like teacher, student, I'm the adult, you're the kids. And kind of like, okay, we're all the adults here. Like, he starts talking to Nat like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so glad he turned himself around from what he was in whatever it was. Like, episode 3, when he just lost his leg and he's screaming at himself, like, fuck you, all this shit.
Hey, everyone gets one.
Yeah. Everybody gets one.
Everyone gets one.
Nobody gets two.
I honestly didn't expect this Ben Scott rise in stock for me, personally. I like how he is able to... Just the maturity, obviously he should be mature at his age, but just the fact that he's able to stay so calm in these situations. I just, especially in this conversation here with Nat too, like, he's just being real with her. He's like, you know, I was a young kid once. I was in that same exact situation he's in. It happens to everyone. And it's just great how comforting he was for Nat. Unfortunately, it all goes to waste because their relationship just shits itself after this. But Ben Scott, I'm loving him so far.
I love that you call him Ben Scott.
I just think Ben, it just comes to mind. I don't know.
I don't even remember his name. I just write Coach all the time.
I only write Ben Scott.
I told Alex that we guessed that he was going to get eaten first. And now everything we see and in these great conversations, she goes, I can't believe they're going to eat him first. Like, it's so funny. Like, I'm like, we just guessed that. And she like took it as Bible. And she's like, you're right.
It's so funny that you said that, because as we're having this conversation in my head, I'm thinking he is the first one to get. He's missing a leg. I don't know if it'll be for like sacrifice. It's like, okay, guys, like, we don't have food. I have one leg. Just eat me. Or if it's going to be less like, you know, filling.
I think it's like he is. Like, how do they descend into total chaos? Can you imagine them doing that with him around?
Mm-mm.
It can't be that. He either has to be the first one to eat or he has to die somehow.
Absolutely.
Not to be kind of spoilery just because we haven't seen 9 and 10.
We're there. We're almost at the point where, like, you guys know these episodes are going to be still split between heavy 2021. We're not going to get all cabin stuff for these next two episodes. So there's only so much further we're going to get. And that's when we were saying in the beginning of this series of the podcast, like, there's a lot of meat left on the bone for the future seasons.
Yeah.
What is, like, I don't even know where the cabin stuff can go, because now that they've tried exploring south, they know, okay, we cannot leave a radius of this cabin.
Mm-hmm.
What are they going to do?
Can't fly out.
Yeah. So it's like, what are they gonna
do? I don't know. I'm just so excited to see these supernatural forces at play unravel. Yeah. That's where the cabin has to go. We still know nothing about it.
Taissa and Lottie have to be so huge in these next two episodes, because they are definitely the most, like, spiritual. Is that the word? I don't even know.
We're gonna fucking find out.
They're the leaders. They're the leaders on two ends.
She's possessed. She's seen the she's like supernatural or something.
Yeah. Fair. So let's any commentary on the Jackie and Travis scene, which leads to Travis ending things with Nat.
Yep. Just want to highlight that I've watched it 3 times now, this scene. I was like Jackie is not being malicious. Casually, it was part of the conversation. She's like, trying to make Travis feel better, not at all like trying to attack Nat.
Mm-hmm.
That's my impression. That was not a targeted attack.
Fully.
So I agree. I actually agree with you that I don't think, maybe in the slightest way, because she hasn't read the diary at that point yet.
No.
Yeah,
no.
Yes.
But that had nothing to do with Nat.
No, yes. The only thing is
that's why she's pissed and at the lake by herself. Because
yeah, okay. Dread it.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I don't think it was intentional, but you got to read the room. Like Travis clearly likes this girl. And why would you bring up someone that she was literally just, you know, quote unquote, seeing on some level? Why would you bring up that name at all? And then, of course, Travis, who is the angry teen, is going to hunt that name down and be like, and make it a big deal, which if she meant to do it, great. She caused some pot stirring, but I think it was unintentional, but I mean, she could have definitely just left it at like, Nat has had some experiences. Don't, you know, go overboard.
Well, the name mattered though. It did matter.
Yeah. Cause of Flex.
It was the guy who gave him the nickname Flex.
I didn't piece that together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's why it was a thing. I don't think Jackie pieced that together either. That's why she thought it was just like another name. Like
Travis, I don't think she should have gone, still went the extra mile. She shouldn't have said like, oh, she was just seeing someone after seeing.
She wasn't saying she was just seeing someone. She said she was missing practice because she was fucking him in his car so much. It's like, this guy is seeing that and you know that. And you're absolutely just like, I don't care. Everyone knows you have a past, right? But I don't want to hear about who I'm dating, who they were just fucking in cars all the time. Like, I don't need to know that. So I think Dave is correct. It was an unintentional, absolutely burying that relationship.
Yeah.
But I disagree that she and Nat are not necessarily friends. And she was being a bitch. Like, she was being a girl, a teenage girl who was just absolutely destroying Nat in front of this girl that or this guy she's with. And I think it was like such a bad Jackie moment. I was like, again, read the room is a perfect way of saying it. But I mean, like, I still love Jackie. I think Jackie's mostly a W in this episode. I think this is her one L.
As someone who is an insecure guy, I'll admit it, you know, like,
sure,
you would start having these questions in Travis's mind. You would think like, okay, we're only together because of the situation that has happened here. If this never happened, we're never together. And she's still going to be fucking this one guy. And so that just kind of bleeds into all that insecurity and anger that he already has. So yeah, just it was just unintentional, but
yeah,
their relationship.
Jackie and Travis are gonna bone
a revenge bang.
I said a bang, bang, bangity bang.
Put it on the board.
It's on.
So are you putting it? I mean, I guess I can't even say that because we know that Travis and Nat end up hooking up in present time again because of the whole older Nat's actress.
Yeah,
like we see clips, like memories of her laying next to Travis. So you think it's just gonna be like a swerve and then back to the relationship? Like, how is that? How do they
toxic relationships tend to, you know, have their highs and lows? And that would definitely,
yeah, they're completely dysfunctional. Okay. I think this is a cycle for them, just complete burn it, scorched earth, and just go right back to something you know is toxic.
And then Travis saves her or something, and they're back together.
I mean, it works for them certainly into their adulthood. Yeah. I think.
Yeah,
it's overall a net positive, the support that they provide for each other, but
it can also hurt.
Yeah, it's toxic when it's at its worst. Yeah. Like you were saying, it's up. Aaron Rodgers is hot and Aaron Rodgers is cold.
Do you agree that with B-Toms that you think he thinks that Travis is going to bang Jackie?
No, I think that's just definitely a hot take, but it's possible. They need some drama here.
Okay. So.
She was one of the three that were oogling Adam in the lake. It was her, Mari, and Nat.
Adam in the lake is what you just said. Adam
oogling at him.
Oh, I thought you said
in the lake.
I will say.
You mean Javi?
If you relook at that scene, Nat or Jackie's not actually ogling. Not. The other two are ogling, and she shames them. We've only been here for 3 days.
Yeah.
Like, you can't possibly think he's hot. And in this scene,
she was looking at him, too.
Her eyes are moving around.
Her mouth said he's gross. Her eyes said, I'm looking at him.
Yeah, now that it's been 7 days, she's got the okay. Yeah. Or whatever, how long it's been.
I assume a few weeks at this point, for sure. They're starving to death.
7 days was just a hail Mary.
Winter is coming. But, okay, quick scene. Ty tells Sean about waking up at the tree, letting the fire die down. It's very sad, very cute scene. And I get it. Like, I do agree that there must be some blowback on Ty, right?
The emergency surgery is happening, right?
Oh my God. Yeah.
That dude. They are so good at bringing out me just cringing and just feeling the pain that are like these people are going through because the Shauna, you know, sticking the wire up inside of her, that was horrible, and then getting this, like actually watching the hook go through her mouth and everything, it's just
They love to make you feel uncomfortable.
They do, right.
It's so good. It's so good. It's hard to look away.
Was it Akila doing the surgery?
It was Misty.
I was hoping one of you wrote it down who did it.
It wasn't Misty. Misty was behind her going, I think you should. And they're like, they got it.
Yeah.
Nat was holding the, I think it was Akila. She's the Girl Scout and was the one like picking Akila, yeah. Berries and stuff.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
I like her.
Yeah.
Her and Mari, yeah. I lumped together Akila greater than Mari.
Agreed. 100%.
I appreciate both of them on my rewatch way more than I did my initial binge, though.
Yeah. They serve a purpose. They're not complete like background.
Yeah,
characters.
Every single character has a purpose. You're right. That's
have
well
a presence.
Said, yeah.
Let's talk Laura Lee, baby. Laura Lee makes an exclamation, waking everyone up in the morning. I was like, if I am on this island or the wilderness, and you wake me up, and I have to live more moments awake,
I was
this
thinking
wilderness.
That
everyone was thinking it.
I was like, just let him sleep in.
Come like,
an hour, like, come on.
But yeah,
what triggered me is when she starts hitting the pot. Like, yeah. I would have heard the voice, and I would have been up. I would have been like, okay, Laura Lee, what's up? But then she goes for the pot. I would have been at her fucking throat, be like, we're eating you right now.
It's one last fuck you, Laura Lee.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So she's flying the dead man's plane, and Jackie straight up outs Shauna as being pregnant, just like ready to watch the world burn. Jackie, she's changed. Like, the way this actress chose to change the way she's acting because she's being spiteful is so good. It's
very
It's like Jinx.
You're right.
It's Jinxy. It's such a turn, and she just wants to watch world burn. It's awesome.
Was she out of pocket?
No.
She can. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is now her decision to release this information.
She Tom's wanted us to be anti Jackie so he could devil's advocate us the other way.
Jackie wronging Nat, but I love Jackie wronging Shauna here. Yeah. Shauna deserves it.
100%.
And it's, again, like I said earlier, it's necessary. Like, the people need to know that there's two medical emergencies, not just one.
But yeah, I mean, Ben Scott, he is against this, obviously.
Who?
Ben Scott.
Yeah, give him a fucking name now.
he of course, this is a crazy thing, but she's like, I read the book. I've steered my grandpa's plane. Mm-hmm. I could do this. And I mean, it looks promising. She got it off. They cleaned it up. I was like, there's no way in hell they would have this much runway. That would take them weeks and weeks to clear out. But I will suspend my disbelief.
Yep.
And walk me through, Rooks, your thought process as she's going. They're about to fly. I mean, there's like some bitchy commentary while they're cleaning between like Shauna and Jackie. Like, Jackie's like being like, we have to take care of you, like, type deal. And it's really, like, really condescending. But what are you guys thinking? Like,
Jackie's great.
I know. She's awesome.
Are we talking about the actual flight or just the lead up to it?
Anything. Yeah. Rip it.
I mean, Jackie's spitefulness was on point. She did a fantastic job. Yeah, I equal your disbelief about clearing up the wooded area. But so my timeline was, I think that this is going to fail, and I think it is going to be a morale crusher for the girls. I think it is going to go catastrophically wrong, and they are going to see it. And then it got off the ground, and it was cruising for a bit, and I'm like, maybe they're going to leave this as a loose end for season two, just like, is Laura Lee going to make it? They let her like soar across the lake just long enough for me to like change it. And then the bear, her co-pilot, just sparks on fire, which I have some thoughts about. But then I was like, oh, Laura Lee, RIP Laura Lee. So, Dave, take me through it.
For me, I think Luke can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the moment she announces that I'm going to fly the plane, that was when I'm, for however long is left in the episode, I'm just literally out loud saying she's dead.
There was like 12 minutes left and Dave was like, she's dead the whole time. I was so upset because I wanted it to be a little bit of a surprise,
sure.
But you knew the second moment, she said that.
The moment they agreed to let her fly was the moment there wasn't even a doubt in my mind that Laura Lee was going to make it out of the episode.
Yeah.
I will say though, in regards to the sparking of the bear, that I want to know, I'm interested to hear your thoughts, B-Toms, on what happened there. Cause obviously I think for me, just plain and simple, it was supernatural. Like, whatever is haunting them, you know, just caused the bear to combust. But at the same time, me and Luke had also talked, when the plane blows up, we looked at each other and were like, that is probably one of the best ways to go out.
Oh yeah.
Like, instant,
easy, quick and easy.
Like, definitely not want to be a fan.
Don't
want to be the girl falling in the pit, because you're probably still somewhat alive for a few seconds after you fall in that pit. But the explosion for me is like, that Laurlee got a good death.
Mm-hmm.
And rest in peace to her. She was a funny character. She provided some great comic relief for us. But I think for me, it was just so predictable because they had emphasized so much that, you know, the Forest didn't want the previous guy to leave. There was a reason that he wasn't able to use the plane. So even if they were able to get it off the ground, I didn't know how it was going to happen. And I thought maybe like a tree would reach up and like swipe the plane out of the air. Like anything could happen because we're supernatural here. But I knew easily it was going to be.
You're opening my eyes because I just assumed it was like the engine from underneath burning the bear.
That could have been it too. I want to hear some your thoughts, but that's
supernatural all in all the way. I read an article like about it that was just like, if they wanted us to believe it was engine failure, these models of planes, the engine is in the front. We would have seen smoke and flames through the windshield.
Well, it's not even that hard.
They wanted to show that it just like started right next to her on the seat. Like, why would the bear light up so spontaneously and ignite so quickly? And nothing. I think we're supposed to believe it was supernatural. And Lottie said they didn't want this plane to leave. Come on.
I didn't have these thoughts my first time watching, but my second time watching, when we've been harping on the supernatural as we're podcasting, I kind of am on that side.
Like, I just don't think there's an explanation for it. I think just whoever wants to keep them there, kept them there.
I'm in. I'm bought into that. I fucking love that. Because I remember the first time watching around being like, what the hell happened there? Like, what? Why did the bear catch him? I didn't even think supernatural.
That's like another one of these things where the supernatural element is so like borderline. You're like, is there actually a supernatural element at play, or is it just like these girls are stressed out trying to survive?
It's like pure coincidence for
everyone. Yeah, like,
and granted, that can still be the answer.
Absolutely,
the genius of the show.
Exactly.
They're leaving it open-ended either way for the viewers to make their own assumptions. And either way, I think at the end of all of this, I'm going to be mind blown either way.
Well, you don't even fucking know. Because this is the end of our 1996 content. Until when we next talk, we will have all of the same information.
Yep.
So if there is any other theories you want on the board, this is your last opportunity because
we'll be thinking.
You know, because was a theory killer for, I forget which one of you brought it up, where you did think that there was a chance that Laurlee and her religion connection was going to be something.
We both agreed on it at some point. But no longer a thing.
RIP the girl.
And I'm going to reemphasize how fucking badass her line of saying to Coach is, what are you going to do to stop me, Coach? Because her whole character arc was worth it for that one moment for me. That was amazing when she stood up and it was just such a badass there.
And she swears too, doesn't she? Says, what the fuck are you going to do? Like,
we're
going to
she doesn't.
She does. She says, we're going to fucking freeze to death.
But not in that line.
Laurlee was like a step above Akilah and Mari for me, but like her death still felt like
impactful.
Earned. Yeah, impactful.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Definitely.
Damn. So that's where we leave the kids until next week. Now we open where we left off with Thaisa was like, you know, eating dirt.
As she does.
And this was like a really intense scene. Old Thaisa, this actress did a great job here. I mean, she gets a text from Nat and the ransomer. It's like two texts. Nat's being like, hurry the fuck up. And she's still getting harassed by the ransomer. And the biting of her own hand, like scrubbing herself and trying to get the dirt off while like there's supposed to be a fucking ransom happening. It's like, this is devastating. And all, like, it sucks. This life is like not cool.
Yeah.
But I love the music choice. It was good stuff. She's obviously very distraught. But then we get to our three girls united. And this is like, this is money. It's so money. Like Shauna being like disappointed by the looks of the money is so funny. She's like, it's just like disappointed by like high standards, you know? Like it's so good. But these three are just like the complete opposite humans, the three different kinds of opposite humans. It's really good.
And let's just open the floor all the way up until right before the GPS starts moving, because there's a couple of things that happen, right? Like you said, they squat up for the money, they get in the car, and they have like skip ahead 2 hours with the drinking. So there's like a couple of conversations happen there. So everything before the GPS starts moving, whatever you guys want to bring up.
What even conversations do they have in the car?
Yeah. So Nat leaves, takes the nice car, takes the baby and goes and is like dropping the money. And they kind of talk through Nat. And it's a really good conversation. They're like, what does Nat have? Like, we're lucky. What did we do to deserve the families we have while she's alone? Because Shauna's kind of shaming Ty for paying for rehab again. And Ty's like, look, what am I supposed to do? Yeah. Like, look at this girl.
Ty's right. She doesn't have anybody. And I think when Nat comes in, maybe this is after everything happens, and it's just like, look, I know you guys try to pretend like you're okay, but you're just as fucked up as I am, living on the edge. And I'm just like leaning into it. You're trying to pretend it's not going on. And she hit home with the two other girls first off, but like that is completely what's going on right now.
That happens after the chase, which is totally fine. Fair to bring up now.
Hold of this conversation as they're sitting on their pedestals, like, oh my gosh, did you see the train wreck, Nat?
Yeah,
you've been with that Adam/Javi girl. Like, get off your high horse.
Yeah. I will say though, Shauna does have that funny line where she's like, oh, I imagine $50,000 would like fill up this bag a little bit more.
Yeah, they were talking.
Dude, but talking about funny, Shauna, after they get hammered for a second, like they get hammered and Shauna, the driver, is the one like switch chugging, basically. They have the conversation where she's trying to catch up with Thaisa, who's giving her nothing. She's like, just fine. All right, great talk, whatever, blah, blah, blah. That whole thing was hilarious. Anytime,
like, I'm fucking Kevin. They're like,
yeah, that's exactly what it turns into. Yeah.
So cute. Like they're reverting back to teenage years. Yep. But I do want to bring one thing up that is said before Nat gets back in the car. And I think Shauna says, we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for her, which is such a big line. Because it means like something Nat did in 1996 helps them either survive or get off or do something. Like something
huge. I didn't catch that.
You brought that up.
That's a big deal.
Yeah, well, it's still a big deal. Just to let you know.
Behind my there's a big deal, I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's been a while. Sean is not impressed by this because no one's picking up the money. They're just watching this thing and they're just getting drunker and drunker. And she's like, I am not impressed.
I will say that it was smart of Shauna to go out and get that tracker. I thought that was actually like that was a good move on them, especially now that like the ones that you can just get for your wallets and stuff are like so small and they just fill the bag with trash. Like, genius. Who cares? Like, there's money in there, you got it, and then we just track the shit out of this guy.
And listen, for any of those listening right now that also watched the show The Last of Us, I've mentioned it before, but tell me your last name. Melanie
Linsky.
It just made her debut last week in the show.
What's her name?
Kathleen. And all I gotta say is Melanie lives in my head rent free these last couple weeks, and it's amazing that it's timing well with The Last of Us because she's just,
I have a little actress crush on her, to be honest.
She's the best.
I think she's like, she's really pretty and she just crushes all roles that I've seen her in these past couple weeks.
The delivery of those lines, like I'm bringing it up again, but like when she's just asking Thaisa about her life, just how she just like just fine. Like, she's just so good at giving those little moments between the girls, especially at like channeling her younger Shauna into making like it a Yellow Jackets moment in the present. It's just, she's like the glue in the present. While I would say Jackie might be the glue like in the past. Like, it's just she's so necessary.
Let me just say, so if we're starting the chase scene, one of my favorite funny lines of these two episodes is when Kai's like, I'll mark him like at States, like because Nat's like, get them from the side. She's like, I'll mark him. Like, it's so funny. Like, I love like last episode when Nat did the soccer thing. Mm-hmm. I love this because they are athletes. They're like world class athletes.
I do forget that.
But they're literally chasing down this dude and it is funny. Like, this scene is crazy. Yeah, now
Thaisa says later in this episode, she was like, when she's saying like what her life plan was, she went to her college and made first team. Like, she is a world-class athlete.
Yeah, she 100%. Is. Yeah,
I thought it was hilarious that of all the chase scene, they decide to slow down when whoever the thief is, I guess we can say, well, I guess we can't say with full certainty that it's Adam, but I think it's funny that they slow-mo the guy running and falling. Like, he trips over the barrel and that's when they're like, all right, we're gonna get this slow motion shot of this dude falling.
That's the glitter scene.
That's because it gets the glitter on it. Okay. Yeah.
That makes sense because I'm watching and I literally said out loud, I was like, why did they slow-mo that moment?
And that's why it pays off in episode.
Yeah, I swear, dude, I thought Thaisa had him because she decks him.
So happy.
She had him.
In the face.
Yeah.
That's a notable thing. If a politician just shows up the next day on TV with like a bloody nose, like that's a thing, right?
Where'd you get that bloody nose? Yeah, that's a question.
Any theorists would have in fucking their way with that.
So unsuccessful, but amazing to watch. And Shauna is now the driver, fucking blacked out, driving around the building trying to keep up with them. So he escapes he or she, I guess we could say, because like they said, no, we don't know what gender, gets in the car, or I guess they said they don't know the gender because they could be working with somebody. Yeah, right. But anyway, I digress, gets in the car, and that's just shooting Kevin's fucking gun, which we find out later is Kevin's gun. I did not know that cops have to account for every round. Makes total sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not something I've ever thought about. But man, that is reckless. Like, even Ty tackling her with the gun is reckless. I'm like, you're going to get yourself shot. Yeah. You're going to shoot yourself.
Well, and was she not aiming at Shauna just because she thought that was the escape car of the thief?
No, like, she was aiming at the car, at the getaway car.
Oh, gotcha. I missed that. But either way, yeah, she's fucking reckless.
Yeah, but this is in this Nat freak out scene. They were saying, like, we've all done worse. Well, Nat says that, like, we've all done worse, Shauna, like. And then Shauna says, don't pull us into your endless pit of guilt. So there's a lot of lines in here where it's like, it's Nat says, we've all done worse. Like, this is not the worst thing we've done. AKA, we've eaten our friends. Two, it's like, don't pull us in your endless pit of guilt. Nat must have done something terrible that they didn't do. Like, unless Nat is just really like, you know, she's an addict. She's obviously like taking this a lot worse than a lot of people, at least.
When you think about it, you know, Nat is honestly the most like, how would you put this? Like, tethered to reality. Like, Thais is clearly off the deep end right now. And then Shauna is out here having an affair. She's feeding like freshly killed rabbits to her family. Like, if anything, Nat's like post-addicted self is more like real than any of the other two girls, which is crazy to think about, because on when you look at them, you would assume she is definitely the one that doesn't have her shit together, but she probably most has her shit together.
I fucking disagree. I thought these two episodes, Nat stocks, super older Nat stock, super down. Like, she,
I agree.
Especially because it devolves, because this specifically, like, failure devolves into the drug relapse, and then like the whole like how she treats
missing. I'm not a crazy Nat fan. I just thought that was interesting how Nat,
like, no, it's a good point though.
It goes exactly into the conversation that they had, which is like, you guys look down on me, but when in reality, you guys are just,
you're the better liars. You're lying yourself.
But we don't have to get much into the Kevin thing. She fucks it. I mean, she's so mean to him. Like, she's mean to everyone else.
Team Kevin so much.
You're supposed to be.
Kevin's the fucking man, and he is doing everything to give her a leash. Like, show me where the bench is. Like, just do something. Like, you're lying to me, basically. Yeah, and it's really hard.
I'm a Nat apologist. And I also think that, like, Nat is the type of person who, she sees something good, she's going to ruin it before it could get ruined for her. It's just the type of way she is. Which sucks. It's very sad. Like, these, I mean, people like Nat think they can't have anything nice, right? I mean, ever since you get in a plane crash into the wilderness and start eating people, it's like, it's all downhill from here, you know? But
let me take us home with the Shauna stuff, and then you end episode one with the Missy stuff, and that will be good for the episode 2021 stuff. So after that whole chasing of the thief, the glitter thief, Shauna goes home. We kind of mentioned it already. And this is where Adam's outside the house. Beaton's made up brought up the quote about, is he a stalker? Is he being weird? Is it just enough to be cute? Whatever it is, it turns into Shauna freaking out at him, like, you're going way over the line. He says, every cell in your body wants to blow things up and see what happens. And that is just an amazing line, just trying to psychoanalyze older Shauna and see. And I'm assuming we all agree, kind of like, that's kind of like her whole thing here. But the entire chaos happens, and then we can also just lump in the morning after with Jeff.
I'm just going to take us back really quickly. I wanted to ask B-Times. I forgot to ask, but in the, when they're chasing the thief, did you have, like, who were your assumptions that who was the thief, if you had any?
None.
Really?
Yeah, I wasn't even thinking about it. I was just appreciating the chase, honestly.
So when it was going on, my first two thoughts were, it's either Adam or Hefe, and I was so relieved to find out it wasn't Hefe. Well, I guess we don't know yet, but I was so relieved to find out it wasn't Hefe. But in my mind, I had assumed it was either Jeff or Adam. And so Adam being at Shauna's doorstep right there at that time was like, okay, I really think it was Adam who does it. Of course, we get the confirmation almost in episode 8, but that was really strange to me that, of course, he was there.
Coincidentally,
right after the incident of them, like, and of course he's going to try and dig, be like, oh, like, why are you getting home so late? And it's like, you know, he's just being a sketchball. So it kind of was a red flag, definitely, that Adam was there. But she takes the fucking bait. They fucking do it in the marital bed.
The Marrow Bed, baby.
Yeah.
Holy shit, that's a throwback.
Also, bad two episodes for adult Shauna. I think just the longer she is so, like, turning a blind eye to Adam slash Javi's creepiness, I'm just like, you have to be real with yourself. This dude is so sketchy. You need to get some sort of answer before you continue this relationship. But then she,
that's all episode even eight's like, about.
No, it's what the very, very end of episode eight is.
Okay, yeah,
Callie
yeah.
even 16 tried to have Callie. This conversation with her in episode three after the mm-hmm. club while she was coming down from Molly. Like, who the fuck is this guy? You know, he should know who you are. Everybody knows the Yellow Jackets. Like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
Now that we're in episode eight, it's like done. Shauna should be smarter than continuing this.
And we're going to talk about like yeah, when we okay. get to the yeah, yeah yeah. Anything? I mean, let's just talk about the morning after, because that to me, I had so much anxiety. Like when they do the classic, Jeff's about to walk into the closet, I just leave it on the bed, you know, blah blah blah, whatever it is, and he's out here saying that he was at the store late. Like, what are we thinking here? Because I know it's been a topic every podcast about the cheating thing. Like, what is happening?
Adam's just a sketchball, man. At the end of
I'm
the
not
day,
talking about Adam. I'm talking about Jeff.
Oh, Jeff. I
what?
Still yeah. love Jeff.
No, but Jeff. Jeff
yeah, but why was he? Yeah, why was he not home all night?
Think about Shauna and Callie's amazing conversation. When Shauna says, like, before you think I'm a wuss when I'm not saying anything about him being out all night. And now when I'm doing something about it, you're judging me even more. So yeah. which is it? So obviously, Shauna and Callie have kind of had conversations with, like, where's Dad been? Like, what's Dad doing?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want it to be cheating. I've made that clear on the past few podcasts. I mean, it's really seeming like it will be, but I mean, he could just, they're poor ish. He could just have a second job that he just hasn't told her about. I guess.
And what's Bianca? I'm always going to bring it back to Bianca, the girl that was texting him.
Boss. Got to get for her as a boss. I'm just trying to defend my boy Hefe here.
Yeah, you are.
I'm really trying, but it's really looking sketchy, but either way, I'm defending my boy.
I think if they make it that Jeff is not cheating, that would be a fantastic misdirect for us yes. as the audience. And honestly, I am increasingly thinking Adam is Javi, and if he's not Javi, he is like the puzzle piece that ties everything in 2021 together, like the bank robber, or not the bank robber, but like the thief, the sparkles, the everything. So like, if that's not a misdirect, I would like for the Jeff stuff to be a misdirect, you know, because both of them shouldn't be so like cut and dried. Oh, okay. That fits nicely into place. I've kind of been working on this theory for the past like mm-hmm. two episodes.
I like that they make it a point to emphasize, because even when they're chasing the glitter guy, they're even making a point to mention that, you know, he could be working with someone else, and they're bringing it up here as well. And they also reference like episodes ago that whoever is sending them this blackmail stuff had to have known of the events. So Javi just fits that bill too. Like if Javi was there and had seen of all the events, and he would know and have that in. But then it just begs the question of who else could he be working with to mm-hmm. get all yep. this done.
Great conversation with Shauna and Callie, where she's like, I found his wallet, so what, you're just letting this guy in our fucking house now? And Shauna's just like, I know. Like, this is another one of these Melanie Lynskey acting, just like,
yeah,
she's bringing the perfect energy to it. She's like, I know it's 100% incorrect, but like, you know, I have to do it. Their relationship like transcends mother daughter. They are like,
Callie's good. She's a good piece of the show.
Callie is wise beyond her years, I would think. Because if I found that, I'd be like, I'd be freaking out. I'd probably tell my dad. I'm like a monster. I'd be like, what is going on?
No, she can't tell the dad because come here, hon.
Like, exactly.
Divorce lawyer. She starts listening to all the shit.
She gets it, but I also think that she can see that the marriage works for what it is. Yeah. I think she needs them to have a conversation where they just clear the air. We're doing this, but we can still be a happy like trio of a family.
This is low-key gonna be one of the best things we talk about next episode podcast. Yep. Is like this fallout of what happened.
Okay,
I will end that with just saying my last comment is I was like, show Jeff's penis, because there's a scene where
cowards
he looks pretty low when he's walking out the door getting ready for the shower, and I was like and I was like,
you'll show us
show the penis.
Van getting sewn her face back together, but you're not going to show us a little Hefe penis? Come on, man. That's got to be it. That's the only thing we're missing right now from the show.
So speaking of missing from at least this podcast episode, let's talk about the girl, Misty. This is our full Misty part. Misty we open with her spying on Kevin and that, you know, Jessica Roberts is screaming downstairs and she's got her tied up. Jessica asks, what do you want from me? Which is a solid question, because I'm like, at this point, we're all like, yeah, what do you want from
this? The end goal.
Yeah. Like, what are you getting out of this girl? She thinks she's a blackmailer and Travis's murderer. I remember thinking, like, Misty feels off base here. Like, what are you thinking?
No, number one, Jessica Roberts crossed Misty, confronted her, and talked down to her, did not put respect on her name. So, like, she needs a timeout just for that. Misty is in her bag.
Completely.
Just to be like, you're not in control here. And also, if you keep fucking sniffing around my best friends, I'll take it a step further and you'll start missing some phalanges.
Dude, my best friend just made me laugh out loud. These people hate Missy. And it's like, these are my best friends. We're fucking with them. I hate her.
I think, who's the actress that plays Missy?
Christina Ricci.
Yeah, I think she, honestly, this might be one of the, like, straight up best performances like I've ever seen. I think she is just literally so perfectly cast, and she is just so perfect. I just love when she's, you know, filling, what is it, like the chocolate with fentanyl.
Dude, like, oh, like, my God.
Father. She's like, oh, by the way, like, your father lives at this address. Right?
Isn't that, and, yeah, that's right. She's like, I know it's right. And I talked to the nurse, Donna, sweetie.
So, and here's the other reason why she's in her bag. Thaisa, like we commented on last recording, has not told them that Jessica Roberts is working for me. We don't have to worry about her, which I still, the longer it goes on, is.
But that gets resolved right here. I agree. Because Jessica Roberts says Thaisa hired me to look into.
Yes. Yeah. No, what's funny is Shauna straight up mentions Jessica Roberts in the car with Thaisa, and Thaisa.
I know. We brought it up. It's, we said that's annoying. I hated that. That's my least favorite piece of writing for the whole show so far.
But without that piece of knowledge, Misty just thinks it's a sus person sniffing around and needs to be like, who are you actually working for? Yeah, so without that,
unfortunately for Jessica Roberts, she's appeared in a moment that is like severely impacting everyone else. And Misty is not here to play around and needs fucking answers.
But also, if Thaisa brought it up before we got to the situation, she'll say whatever she wants to get out of the hostage situation. So you, even if I'm Misty, I'm not taking that. Now it's too late.
Yeah.
You can't just say that now. Yep. And Misty has two amazing moments here. It's the leverage conversation where Jessica says, oh, well, that's leverage in my business. And Misty says, well, it's only leverage if I'm unwilling to make you talk. And I am. And she like puts it right back over. And then that's immediately is the next time we see her is, you know what I love about fentanyl? her just putting it in. And that is, oh my God, that mixed with the Laura Lee badass scenes, just two of my favorite, like just mic drop moments of the whole show.
Yes, Misty is out of her fucking mind, but we fucking live for Misty.
Fun to watch.
Oh yeah.
One of my favorite things is that Jessica bought Travis the whiskey. I thought that was just a good little callback because Nat looks at the whiskey and is like, what is this?
Yeah, that was a
that ain't it. But it's good. She was there the day he died, but thought it was sketchy. And then we get this good little piece of information that his bank account was emptied after he died, meaning someone else did it. So that's kind of Nat's trajectory for the rest of this episode 8. But I wanted to go back to Dave just talking about how Christina Ricci is so good. This is the episode where I realized that both Misty's like touch their glasses so much, almost like a tick.
I think it's cute.
Keep your eyes out, because that I'm sure, like in you know, acting world, when you are playing like a younger version, you're playing an older version of someone who's a younger in a different part of the show, you kind of have to talk to each other a little bit. And there's like mannerisms you can do to help make it be like, wow, these two really play each other well and they play the same character. She's constantly like just touching the tip of the nose and like fixing her glasses.
So cute, I love
that you guys are into her. It's amazing.
Oh, dude, Misty's the good.
The flags are there, but she's so cute.
The hardest thing to believe about this show is that no man finds her attractive. Like, it's crazy. Like, okay, no.
I do want to shout out Matt Kelly because he just started watching Yellow Jackets and he's listening to our pod. And in the first episode, we kind of talk about how she's on Wednesday and she's the old Wednesday and stuff like that. And she was a huge 90s, like, she was in Cast. Her, of course, she's in a million things, and he's like, she was like, they grew up like the kind of the same age, right, growing up, and he's like, she was my everything. It's wild to me that you like the Binge Town people don't really know her as well, because he's old, so,
like, that's
old.
Like his Selena Gomez or like Jimmy's Hillary Duff, like, yeah, I
think a good one,
yeah.
love that you guys now are like fully bought in on Christina Ricci because he texted me and was like, she's like, I'm obsessed with
Shout out Matt Kelly. It's good taste.
We started this. I think I was watching Wednesday first before I like binged all the way through Yellow Jackets.
Yeah, you did.
And she's just randomly in Wednesday, which is awesome because of just the meta joke in that.
Yeah.
Great things about Wednesday, but if I'm watching that show, it's literally just for Christina Ricci.
Yeah, obviously.
I mean you will have no regrets Wednesday.
Come on,
Jenna's
amazing. Yeah. Get the fuck out of here! I love her.
Love
too.
That.
Got to stray with Gwendolyn Christie.
Right.
Okay, let's take us back here because that really ends the so that. That's the episode 1 2021 stuff. Episode 2 is a little bit more bucketed, easier for us to talk about. We're going to have all of the Shauna stuff go, sprinkle in a little Thaisa, and then we're going to have all of the Nat stuff go, sprinkle in the little bit of Misty there. So I think we should just continue with the Nat and Misty stuff because we did a lot of Shauna already. So
we can do that.
Yeah, go ahead.
We opened an A with Misty calling Caligula rude, which is like so funny. I didn't just like drop something. I don't know what she does, what he does. Sorry, Caligula is a boy.
Boy bird.
It was not, Caligula does not sound like a name, but I am not one to
judge.
Have
we talked about the name before? What
does it mean?
He was an ancient Greek emperor that was known to just be fucking wild and his erratic decision making. Like, people despised him, like, just very chaotic reign in ancient. Ancient Rome.
Yeah,
he can't use phones yet, but he's learning.
He is learning. Yeah, then he can really do some damage.
So we get a little Misty and Jessica, but Misty is now seeing Nat's drug deal happen, and she immediately is like, "No!" Sprints over there instead of just knocking it. She rips the coke. So good,
amazing.
Tried cocaine before.
I mean, she's checking her pulse,
dude. The whole time, it's so good.
Snap finds the camera and they fight. But free talk about this. This is a great scene. It's comedy and it's also like Misty again being like, we're friends, and I'm like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She's so out of pocket because of the camera.
Besides all the love that we could give Misty for days and days straight, to me, I still don't know what her deal is. Like, she does plot things behind their backs and she makes it seem like she's against them. But at the same time, you know, she's doing things like this where she is actively pretty much saving Nat's life from going down a well.
Yeah, she's a yellow jacket, bro.
Misty knows, the only life she's known is like she has to be giving or like giving a service for people to like her.
Yeah.
And in this sense, she's like, she is planting things in order to help people.
Absolutely.
But it's so intrusive and insane to the normal people who can just interact.
Yeah.
But she is so socially maladjusted. It's like,
there's zero negative bones in her body towards Yellow Jackets.
Oh,
right.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Have we all watched Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Most of it.
Oh, it's
Charlie
like,
and the Waitress.
Yep.
Yes.
The one episode where he stops doing the insane stalker stuff that he does, like testing her food for poison.
Putting
and, like,
vitamins in her shampoo. Yeah.
And then he stops and her life goes to shit. That's just Misty from Yellow Jackets.
Yep.
I love
well
that.
Said. I mean, the only thing of actual importance that happens here besides like the emotional part between Nat and Misty is that Misty tells Nat about the bank account, and that's going to have its own repercussions. But yeah, it was just so funny seeing her, don't breathe, and she's like just blocking her from all the cocaine. She's great. Like, I've never done cocaine. That could have been PCP, that could have been fentanyl. I could be dead in a minute, but I did that for you.
Yeah.
It's like, she is literally the reason that they get stuck in the wilderness for 19 months. She is also an abuser of elderly people. But she's a great friend.
You're back with the 19 months.
Well, no,
thing, but
I mean, who knows? Because she destroyed the tracker box.
She destroyed the tracker box.
Sure,
she abuses elderly people, but is a great friend.
Yeah, I love her. She can be my friend.
Yeah.
But later you can see Nat absolutely losing her mind, trying to get some information on Travis on the phone with the bank. Can't get anything. Is throwing everything around,
Karen.
But then finds the motel floor.
So.
And that's the grossest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, the conversation with Nat on the phone is overshadowed by the coke. Her finding the coke, an audible laugh out of me. Like, the face, she's like, oh, Yes, it is.
Yeah. She like grabs it off the fucking carpet.
Fucking funny. I'm getting such an appreciation for this actress portraying this like terrible human being of a character in Adult Nat, but she's owning it. The way her body's like so bendy, like when she like lays down on the beds and stuff, it's so weird.
And
but
I get a little bit of that from Young Nat too, which is just like a thing. A
little
like,
bit. Yeah.
Juliette Lewis slaps.
But the phone conversation with the bank, she's like, I know I'm not a family member, but you got to make an know who is a family member of Travis is Javi, someone who would be able to clear that account.
Oh,
yes.
Wow.
Adam.
Mic drop.
All right. The relation,
if you like what you heard, think
about the bank account. He connects all the dots. He was number one.
Okay. That's I like it.
That was genius. I didn't even think of that. And I'm the biggest advocate of that.
Well, it's because she slams the phone, throws a TV, and then finds cocaine. So, like,
you're right. It gets overshadowed. Yeah.
But she doesn't do it, right? Does she admit, like, the next scene we see of her? This, like, we get the confirmation that she didn't do it. I don't think, right?
What
the coke? No,
hello. She fine.
I thought it was implied that she did
that coke first.
Yeah,
she was like fucking picking it on carpet.
She was lying to go straight to NA. What she does.
Oh, because that's what I thought. I took that as her going to NA as okay. She fought her ability of wanting to do the coke.
Fought the urge. Yeah.
She was like, okay, I need to go to NA.
He was only going to NA to get that to go to that woman.
Right.
Cue that up.
Yeah. So. Really quickly, Missy gets home and Jessica's about to snap Caligula's neck. And it's a really intense scene. Missy freaks the fuck out. The bird gets loose. But then immediately Missy's like, nice. And like, it's like, are you hungry? Okay.
Yeah.
So wild. Missy, again, Christina Ricci snaps for our girl. She's excellent.
I would have lost my fucking mind if she killed Caligula.
Yeah, me too.
Dude.
And they would have made it look bad,
dude.
Yeah, it's been horrible.
We would have heard the snap kiss.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't have handled it.
Thank God. She's like, I didn't mean it.
Also, Missy's probably still coked out at this moment in time, too.
Sure.
Yeah, she's emotional. She's
never crying. Done drugs in her life.
Yeah, like, she calmed down crying.
That's exactly probably why she's so like up and down really quick, because Misty already smacked her, like, If I'm watching someone with my bird about to snap her neck, that's when I'm about to freak the fuck out. That's when I slap her. That's when I double punch someone.
She's lucky she didn't do it, because I think Misty would have killed her.
Yeah. Literally. Yes, correct.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Or she would have taken a leg, just like Ben Scott.
Just like Ben Scott. Okay, so NA meeting. Enter NA meeting. Of course. She has assaulted a lady there. Hilarious. First person she sees, but we didn't know that's who she was there to see. It's her old sponsor who just got a big job at the bank.
I'm going to be honest. I thought it was Laura Lee, because this was all before the plane crash happened. So she went to go see her, and I was like, is that Laura Lee, like, as an old person?
It's a good call.
Yeah, but it was.
Could still be. Maybe she survives that. Who's to say?
Very possible. Her body just falls into the water. She just lays there, and then the cannibals take her and save her life. Luke is choking on a shot.
They went down the wrong pipe, and I just...
He's crying. He's sad about Laura Lee still.
He's sad about Laura Lee.
I was going to say Caligula.
It would have been for Caligula. There was a real fucking tears, bro.
Okay, so basically... They go out. It's actually kind of a nice conversation. She tells her about Travis and how, you know, she knows he wouldn't have killed himself. He is like, she says, I am a liar, but he is not. He would never like go against the word. It's not what he would do. And then immediately blackmails her in order to get her help too, because she was like doing some bad shit at the bank and like giving away people's probably credit card numbers and stuff, information and stuff. So, so she's going to dig into the bank accounts for us. We don't get any more on that. I'm sure we'll get that in, the next episode. So that's end on Missy and Nat. Does anyone have any other comments before we jump into Shauna and Ty?
So for Shauna's stuff here, and I'm also, I said also Thaisa, eventually she lumps into here too. We talked about the Cali scene, and let's dive into it a tiny bit more, because there is more layers to it, where it's all the aftermath of Adam leaving in the morning and then Cali finding the ID. And then they talk about his missing presence from being online, which is super notable.
And for an artist too.
For an artist and someone, he's like, no self-promotion, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's all valid points that Callie's bringing up.
Yep.
And then, so she's saying like, he could just straight up be just like a Yellow Jacket, like just fan chaser, whatever. All very, very, very valid points.
Banger.
Yeah. I'm also going to lump in this whole, everything that happens during the day where Shauna goes and basically directly after this conversation confirms that Adam never went to the college because she fakes calls the administration.
Yep.
And then also let's lump in Jeff coming home and buying her a dress for the reunion the next day.
Let's talk about Hefe coming home like a smooth baller with that bag. He came in like with some swag to him. I was like, Jeff is hot.
See, and I'm thinking too in this moment, like Jeff is purchasing her a very nice dress with his new money that he got from working his second job at night.
Look,
so
if Jeff isn't cheating, if that gets confirmed, he has a nice spot in the number two of my rankings, and that is reserved for him.
For the Hefe.
Yeah,
for Hefe.
Well, I'll save it in the end, but Hefe was in Dave's top three.
Sean managed into homecoming royalty, which is the douchiest thing a 40-something-year-old has ever said in the world. Come on, you managed into homecoming royalty, baby. Wear this hot dress.
Nah, I love Jeff.
I know, I love him too. I called him hot.
You ever notice how much he calls? He just says, babe, babe.
Yeah, babe.
He's like, oh, babe, I got you a dress, babe.
Yeah, he's a babe guy. Innocent. So they're eating dinner and there's a knock at the door and Shauna's fucking stomach crashes into her ass.
My stomach was
crying. She is like,
yeah, well, who did you guys think?
Adam.
Oh, totally thought Adam.
Okay, yeah.
Hops at the door.
She takes a big swig of wine. She's like, here we go.
Did anybody pay attention to Callie's reaction to the knock?
I think she's like, fucked.
She looked at mom and thought the same thing.
Yeah.
Was like, that's good. Raise the eyebrows.
And so I just think this is so funny. Ty, I was canvassing and I remembered you live here. Oh, what a good surprise after 20 years. Hey, want a sleepover?
Yeah, so funny.
Like, just probably like, you're having a sleepover?
But at the same time, Jeff was playing dumb at least. He was like, we got a celebrity in the house.
Yeah.
It was very funny.
I was very much into these scenes. I'm a friendship girl. I think they should kiss each other. Just saying. Although, Simone, adore her. Simone's great.
If only Thaisa did.
That is so true. And we'll get there. We will get there. But she tells her about her sleepwalking. And at this point in the episode, we do not see young Ty tell anybody about the sleepwalking yet. So I remember watching them as adults being like, oh, like it must be a thing that the girls know that Ty is eating dirt and sleepwalking back in the day. But it's probably only Shauna that she
and
that
Lottie has seen it. Well, but yeah, Lottie doesn't know.
Can't you crazy right now? Lottie was like the whole thing.
Yes.
Oh, Thais is probably not ready for that conversation.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
But also to add on to that, another important thing here is that we do get confirmation that Thaisa knows that Sammy has been calling her sleepwalking form the bad one.
And yeah.
And then also their dog's missing too. Like she's just unloading all of her personal information about what's going on with her life.
Yeah, and this is where they have the conversation about what lives would have been. Shauna tells this cute story about Post Brown and all the boys and the Francois of it all. And then Ty tells this whole story, and Shauna's like, you bitch, that did happen. It's a very sweet thing. She's like, none of it felt real. None of it. And it's just trauma and like, how do you move on from there? And it seemingly on paper, Ty has lived this like amazing life, but it's like, what is anything after an experience like that? Yeah, nothing felt real. So sad.
And sorry, one thing before I'll open the conversation, you guys, this is something you brought up last episode, Kathleen, the cinematography wise, like the parallels. Yeah, they do an amazing job here showing like Thaisa and Shauna basically cuddling both in the past and the present at the same time, which I love when they do that. And it never gets highlighted because of how we podcast on it, but it's always really well done.
Yeah.
For me, I might be as blind as Jackie, but I'm not reading the room right, but I'm definitely feeling something between these two. Like I've never had the insight of like what a girl's friendship looks like, but this seems like more than friends to me. Like
I'm gonna put a question on the
board right now though, that I think Thaisa and Shauna are gonna end up together.
That's
perfect. Listen to this. You're gonna like this. You ready?
Exactly.
All right, Dave, you get inside the mindset of Shauna right now and give me a bang kill marry between Hefe, Thaisa, and then Javi/Adam.
Adults.
All adults. Question. Yeah, give me the bang kill marry.
So Shauna, if I'm Shauna, definitely I think she made the right move. I'm marrying Jeff all day.
That's
not even a question. I'm going to take, even though Thaisa, well, I guess it's only a one night stand kind of thing. So
he got to know.
I'd probably go with Adam.
You're banging Adam?
I think so.
You just took it. Your whole point is mute.
Yeah. So now my whole point is mute. But then, yeah. But now I'm kind of thinking about the hot, steamy sex Shauna and him had, and I'm like, I kind of want a piece of that. So let's give it a whirl. But
doesn't even stand by his opinion.
I love it.
If Adam wasn't good in bed, then I would probably go with Thaisa. But we know Adam's pretty good at laying pipes, so I would take it.
Brian, what's your quick one? We need to throw it to you.
Mary Ty, bang Yefei, ditch fucking Javi.
Love it. Classic. I love it.
It's suspicious, but it's sort of the one night I'll take.
Yeah. So this is where they have the conversation about it, right? I mean, they're all like Ty saying, well, yeah, I don't have like the it right now with Simone, but it's safe. It's like she loves her, obviously, but
they
she says
the it for each other.
The it was not ever good for her. And I'm excited to see where her and Van go in general. Like, you don't know. Like, I mean, the next two episodes, of course, but and then in season two. But and of course, Shauna is not feeling it with Efe right now. I mean, whatever. But I thought it was a cute conversation. It's a classic girl. I'll tell you, you've never witnessed like girls' friendships. This is what it's like. Okay, this is what you talk about in bed.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Maybe I was reading the room wrong, but I'm still going to leave it on the story that I think Thaisa and Shauna are going
to. As the queer girly on the pod, I am feeling it, Dave. Right,
cool.
I love it. I think I'm just wanting it. Yeah. I don't know that they'll end up together.
But my confirmation confirms your opinions of the relationship.
It's them cuddling. Younger is when I'm really feeling it, but yeah. It is really like Shauna protecting her and being there for her. So we could be confusing things, but sure. Life is confusing. You know what I mean?
Shauna might be confused in her sexuality.
Exactly.
So,
no. We've all been there. We've all done it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Me and Jeff.
Next. So she goes straight to Adam's house, right? After first of all, her telling her about Adam, so sweet. Ty is giddy listening to her talk about Adam. She doesn't say any of the sketchy stuff.
I love
that reaction.
Up
saying, yeah, Ty.
You tell me it is Randy fucking Walsh. I will burn this town to the ground.
Why does everybody hate my boy Randy? It's ridiculous. He gets so much hate.
Everybody knows Randy.
Randy's the man.
Yeah. So she beelines it to Adam's house the next day because she's like, I gotta get to the bottom of this. Of course, it's like one of those like industrial like studio apartments, very artsy. There's Chinese containers all over the place. And she asked about Pratt. He admits to it being a lie, right? He's like, you know, a girlfriend went there. I just wanted to impress you. What's your read? Tell me. Give it to me.
Still spewing bullshit.
Yeah.
Literally like the bar too. He was like, oh, I really just came here for a drink. It's like, no, you didn't. You're doubling down on all these lies. And this is going to come back and get you.
Yeah. Same. It's like he's grasping at straws, and like if you're Shauna, it's like just walk away.
Yeah,
he's so sus.
Naive, but like I felt like he was passing all the tests after he got over the lie of the college because he seemed pretty damn genuine.
Yeah,
maybe it was the actor's performance, but like I don't know. And
he did seem genuine, especially when he was like, "Let's just go away for a week. You can ask me literally anything you want, and I'll answer you."
Like so ridiculous.
Well, that was ridiculous.
Where's she gonna go? Yeah, she has a life.
Yeah,
but I did feel like he was. He said like she didn't catch him in any other lie besides that, right?
Yeah, I mean, straight up, if that was like our first interaction with Adam, you know, I'm thinking, okay, maybe he is just a genuine guy, but because of everything that we've seen him appearing at the house and the hotel, it's just like he's always there at the right times, and it's just sketchy.
And you know what's funny, Dave, is this is the exact situation with the show that we watched, The Rehearsal.
You guys ended up watching.
We watched the first episode. It was amazing.
Yeah, right. With the
lying about NBA. It was lying about where college he went to.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, the rehearsal. Yes.
This is the exact situation.
The exact so cringy.
Yeah.
All of it's giving me the ick. Adam, the rehearsal, all of it.
Well, first of all, dude, did you ever see that? This is off pod.
Nah.
Brian, you would like it.
How funny was it? You watched it?
I've seen the first two episodes.
All right, we'll talk about it after. That's
okay. All right. So all right. Let's crush this. We have like two more scenes. So next, quick Ty scene, last one. She goes home and after having her little sleepover, so cute. And she gets home. First of all, Simone and Sammy just kind of look at her like, oh, you wanted to come home now? It's like, how do you, as an adult, I mean, I guess I could sleep over at one of my friend's house. I'm an adult, quote unquote. I'm doing very bunny ears over my head.
You sleeping every night?
Yeah. but anyway, so she tells Simone about the sleepwalking. It's very sweet. Simone like takes her in her hands and it's like, we're going to get you fixed. And immediately Ty's like, I need you to get the fuck out of the house. I'm dangerous.
Yeah.
Like, you guys are like, I am scared. I'm going to hurt you. Get out. And I thought it was an amazing acting moment. And I thought it was like, it was the only way Simone was going to understand the severity without explaining the severity.
Yeah.
Without being like, last time this happened, my girlfriend got mauled by a wolf.
No, I'm sure worse things have happened. That's, it's been implied that way worse thing. When had the conversation with Shauna, she's like, you know how bad it can get. And I'm thinking that means way worse than Van.
That's what I was thinking too, because she explicitly says, like, I will hurt you. She didn't necessarily hurt Van, at least that we saw. Like, she just swiped the thing, climbed up in a tree, and kind of hid more.
She could have hurt somebody.
But yeah, that's what my first thought was. Okay, we are going to definitely get more sleepwalking scenes that are going to be worse than what Van had to go through.
Yeah. And the sleepwalking, we're all in agreement, is tied to the possession, like whatever she's got going on with
it.
She writes it off as PTS or like trauma-based,
which it could is also a real thing, but like trauma-based sleepwalking does not entail shoveling dirt into your mouth and like walking on all fours like a demon spawn.
Yeah, so you're right.
You know.
Yeah, she asked them to go to the mom's for a while. You have to just kind of assume they do, right? It's the safest thing to do. I looked straight to Alex and I said, you also need to go to your mom's. Dumb joke. I did it anyway. So here's the thing. We end the episode. Shauna goes into the closet. Glitter all over the floor, just where Javi was.
Enter Javi.
Slash Adam.
Well, she looked at the safe for the diaries, too. And the diaries are missing.
Yeah.
See, like, but that's sketchy, because how would anyone know the safe code?
Yep, they might.
So, that's true. But how would he? I feel like those diaries are specific to Shauna.
Perfect crime.
This is me just pulling shit out of my ass, but I'm thinking maybe in the diary way back in the day, Shauna makes like in her diary, she notes like something about her favorite numbers, like something.
She's
special
like, she knows my future safe code.
Yeah, something, but like maybe it's her birthday, something as easy as that. But like,
okay,
if Javi did go through her stuff and
he was
didn't,
for a little bit,
yeah, and then maybe did actually get into the diary, kept that information with him for so long. And again, it is definitely sketchy, like that it was a safe.
Yeah, so she marches right up to the door and says, who the fuck are you? And then close scene. We are in 9 and 10.
And then you go to Larlee. But either way, that was a great way to end 2021. And that's what I was saying.
Great year.
Wink back to when next podcast when we're talking about it. But I was so happy it cut off right there.
Yeah.
And didn't go further. Because
9 and 10 are going to burn the house down. Yeah. And again, so everyone, this is our first of this specific yellow jackets where we're in person, so if the vibes are just like immaculate, you know why. We are staring at each other, we're drinking some drinks, it's good times.
Dave, I just, they've been alluding to for a while now that 9-10 are going to blow our minds. I just, like, how can you, relative to what we've seen already, say like 9 and 10 are so much more mind-boggling?
Let me just say, like, I don't want to set you up for like any type of failure, because the episodes are great, but like we said, meat on the bone. At the end of 10, you're going to be like, there is so much more we need to know. Like, don't think all your dreams are going to be solved by the end of.
I hate it, but I love it.
Yeah.
On top of that, I will say like three of my top five favorite moments from this show have yet to happen.
Sure.
Oh man, that's a lot of moments.
Yeah,
it's a good time. Okay. Let's do the
Before we can sign out, whatever, let's do our whole round the clock antler queen guesses from both you, top three from both you, and then this is going to be your final chance to also guess person in the pit. So starting with Dave, antler queen
Lottie.
And no you don't have to dive into it if nothing's really changed for you.
And yeah, I think my characters would probably be the same. Let's see if I'm still consistent. So number one, old Shauna. Number two. Oh, wait, sorry. Number one, old Misty. What am I, crazy?
Consistent. Okay, no. Yeah. So old Misty. Misty.
It was a not so great two episodes for old Shauna, but I still this might be my crush coming into play here, but I'm definitely going to, I'll probably put old Shauna at number two.
Okay. And
Hefe continues to stay.
Did you remember that you had him in there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's a huge moment.
Yeah, true. That was one of the best. When he literally stood up. Hefe, baby.
He's not moving. He hasn't had any reasons to move him out.
Hopefully you don't remember. I don't know if you do, though.
Adult Misty is still number one. I'm going to say Lottie, young Lottie, but the only Lottie we know.
Okay.
And then I'm going to say...
You know, that's Lottie's first appearance in the top three the whole season.
Yeah, it is.
Which I love to hear.
I'm debating between young Misty and young Ty, but Ty, I kind of blame her for Van's current situation. So I think that's enough to kick her out of the top three. Give me young Misty.
Okay.
I'm just a Misty stan.
So so Dave had his same exact top three ordering, and B-Tom's older Misty as his one, and switched out old Shauna and young Ty for young Lottie and young Misty.
I'm shocked that a young Jackie didn't make it in just because she had such a good two episodes.
She's proven to not be a top three character. Sure.
And B-Tom's guest for Antler Queen, Lottie?
Lottie.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. And now, we didn't do this last episode, but we did it two podcasts ago. Who is your final guest for Person in the Pit?
We'll just go with Mari. I'm going to, because it's obviously not going to be Javi. I had that wild assumption that, you know, Javi.
Did you guess that it was going to be Javi?
He did. He said he was going to.
His hair was going to grow.
Yes.
That's literally what I said. His hair was going to grow longer. He's going to get taller, but that just completely.
That was also after episode four. So give him a break there. B-Toms, who is the person with the necklace? Because Jackie had it this episode, right?
The necklace. Gave it back. Yeah. I was thinking about switching to Mari, but I'm going to stick with Jackie.
Is there a world where Mari has the necklace?
Is there a world where Mari's the antler queen?
The same with Javi, too, because Shauna and him were having that moment. I was like, oh, she's going to totally gift him the necklace. It's going to be him. But
Javi's wearing that heart necklace. I'm laughing.
No, he would. I'm just like, is there a world where anybody besides Jackie is wearing the necklace now? Like, who would she give it to?
Ty.
Shauna.
Jackie has it. Sorry.
Jackie currently has it.
She's not giving it back to Shauna.
Yeah. All right. This is the best, and by next episode, I'm so pumped because when we come back for season two, the theories are going to be out of control. Like, no holds barred, the four of us just being wild tinfoil.
Some dumb shit.
Just be prepared for a very long podcast recording from us. Like, this might be a 2-hour guy.
Because, yes, for the finale, but it'll be nice because it's one episode per pod for season two, so we can really, like... You know, get into theories you know.
Yeah, we might fuck around for 6 hours if you guys are willing to listen.
If you can't tell, we love covering Yellow Jackets. These ones go longer than some of our other ones, but it's worth it. But yeah, so we're coming back with 9 and 10 next Monday. We're dropping these on Mondays. When we come back, they're airing on Sunday night, so it'll probably be a different day per week, but we'll nail down a day per week. But yep, if you like what you heard, give Binge on TV a like, a follow, or subscribe on everything. Apple TV, no, not Apple TV, Apple Podcasts. I've got a couple white calls.
We have a show coming out.
Yeah, if you can figure it out, do it.
We
subscribe
to show on Apple TV called Binge Town TV. No, but we are on Apple, Spotify, anywhere you listen. Give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram. Hit subscribe on everything. We're having a good time. We love it here. Go listen to our Last of Us coverage because the boys are crushing it on that. And go listen to anything else you like that's sci-fi. I'm sure we've covered it if it's cool. If it's cool, we've got it. We are Binge Town TV. And fuck you, Laura Lee.
Stole the words right out of my mouth. It was going to be fuck you, Laura. I was actually going to say we love you, Laura Lee.
We do love you. R.I.P. the girl.
R.I.P.
Go birds!
Go fucking birds.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.